You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, coding is a visual language that uses texts and numbers in order to create an interactive and digital platform. Now, art, on the other hand, is a visual and performing medium that uses the human senses in order to communicate with the viewers. Now, where do these two intersect is the major question that we are asking. Like I said, a very difficult question. That is the question we're seeking to answer today with our conversation with Ronald. We're trying to demystify the relationship between coding and performing arts. And of course, he's a friend of the show returning once again. It is Mr. Ronald Nyamukua. Welcome, sir, and good evening to you.
Thank you, Tabelo. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. A little bit chilly, but I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm very good. Harare is hot, man.
Is it?
I'm in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Look at you. You might just want to export a little bit of that heat, eh? Come this direction. What's the degrees there?
Probably around 25, 26, I think.
That's nice. We are in the early teens, eh? So you can imagine just how cold it is. We are just in the early teens. So, yeah.
Same, man.
Yeah,
I definitely don't want to be there.
Yeah. I definitely want to be there where you are.
So we can
always exchange. But how was your day, though?
My day was good,
yeah.
Productive. I'm preparing for travel on Thursday morning. So you know how it is. You try to fit everything before you travel, your meetings and all that.
Yeah,
but it was really good.
Pray tell, anywhere you're going, do you want to take me with?
Yeah, sure.
Just
down in Mozambique.
Look at you.
Just going to Mozambique just to meet a potential client.
Yes.
Thanks to shows like this, they get to find out more about us and
be
like, look, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. All the best with that, man. And enjoy Mozambique while you are at it. For some of our viewers who might not know, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
All right. So I run a tech company called Ronix after my name. And what we are trying to do is just to equip the world with the necessary skills that everyone needs in order to thrive in this ever-changing global village. And part of those skills are coding, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And we also offer software development services. We have a few solutions that we have implemented ourselves in context to Zimbabwe and Africa. And I mean, we do trainings as well as hardware solutions. So if you need a laptop as well, we can do that. But our core business is to equip the African child and young person and adults, basically in corporate, to give you those skills that you need to be more productive in the workspace.
Definitely, definitely. That's some great works there. And yeah, like I said, thank you so much for joining us once again. I think that's a really important one. We talking about the intersection between coding and performing arts, but I don't want to take it for granted and leave some of our listeners. When we are talking about coding, what are we talking about? And precisely also when we are talking about performing arts, what exactly are you talking about? Sounds like two extreme worlds that shouldn't meet.
So they really are. They really are two extreme worlds. Let me start by defining what they are.
Yeah.
I like the definition by a guy called Lemonaki, you know, and he just says coding is a process of transforming ideas, solutions, and instructions into a language that a computer can understand. So basically, when we're talking of coding, aka software development, we are talking of communicating with a computer to have a desired outcome.
Yeah.
Right. And then on the performing arts side, these are time-based arts that form typically features like presentations to an audience. So you're looking at your skits, your poetry, your acting, your painting. right? And, as you said, these are two different worlds because one appeals to your left brain.
Yeah.
You're normally said you're left brained, and when you are on the coding side, you're probably right brained or vice versa. So,
I mean, like I say, already that creates a dichotomy of sorts, right? That creates a dichotomy of sorts, and already I think, like I'm saying, it becomes very difficult to even start this conversation. Say, why are we even trying to bring the two worlds together? But is there any sort of relation between the two?
So you realize that, as I always say, coding or software development is becoming part and parcel of each and everyone's daily life. Right? And it's becoming just like maths and English. Everyone needs to learn it. The same way you're learning how to construct a sentence in grade one and how you're doing zero minus one, it can't. That's just how you need to learn coding. And it's played a great deal in the performing arts industry. Just to mention one space that it has played a big role, right? It has played a big role because to enhance the creativity in the space, to enhance the reason why we have music bangers in those spaces is because coding has come in to create platforms where you can think beyond the mind. You know, the mind has ideas, but the coding or the product of coding can then take that idea into something else.
Are we trying to say then coding is taking over a lot of the industries, or it's becoming like a support to other industries?
All right. So coding is definitely becoming a support. It's an aid to a lot of industries, right? I'll give an example. I'll give an example of what coding is doing in the music space, right? So you know, like when you're recording music, there are those silent spaces that the musician has to listen into, or they have to create beats. They have to create new scripts, like in writing music. Coding has helped people create platforms, right, which do that for you. So you could write one line of script, and you can get multiple different lines in the same space, right?
Okay.
Maybe an example of an application that helps with that is Proscene.org, which allows visual arts to prototype their work and experiment beyond their minds. So, like, for example, if you make a pattern, you make a design, through those patterns that you originate, it can create other patterns from your work, and you can still be validated as the author.
So it can replicate the drawings.
It can replicate and create other arts or artistic designs.
Yeah.
Right. Say you make a beat today, or you write lines, right?
Yeah.
Through the AI and those platforms that have been made, they can then go further and bring out deeper meaning to what you were saying in your lines or the scripts that you were writing.
Sounds very, very scary, I must say. next thing, this thing will be coding me and pretending to be me sitting here, and there'll be another Tapelo doing business senses. So that will be very interesting. I mean, I think I can see it if you explain it in that way. You know, when you're looking at paintings and beats and music and all that. But where human beings are literally doing the job themselves, is there a bit of coding that's needed there? And I'm talking about poetry, someone who's going to be doing a poem, coding there, how does it come in? Someone who's sitting behind this mic and presenting on a show, are there limitations to where we can stretch this coding and intersection between the two with the performing arts?
Okay, so you mentioned poetry, right?
Yeah.
You now have projectors and screens where, I mean, how many times have you watched a live stream of a concert? And you were playing The Vine just now,
yeah,
right? And you, that is a result of coding, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That record has been put on set and yeah, you can replay it.
Yeah.
Maybe The Vine is in Zambia, they're performing.
Yeah.
But just because of geographical barriers, it doesn't mean you have to miss out on the beautiful performance that they're going to give, or if it was a poet, right? And you could still, because of that, it helps enhance their reach. So instead of just having to be present in front of people, what if you're sick on the day that you have to perform? What if you caught a cold?
Yeah.
Right. But if there is a recorded piece of work, if there's a recorded piece of art, you can then sell that off. Right. I remember one artist in the stage, that was in June and the album was coming out in August. Mm. They literally sold 60,000 copies via iTunes, right?
Sure.
So to the poet, that's a big benefit. It's a good revenue income stream. So you definitely want to leverage on the benefits of the platforms as a result of coding.
And I do think that, you know, there's it's unfortunate, but it does happen, exactly what you're saying, where, you know, a particular show was supposed to happen, but the artist, for some reason on that particular day, doesn't feel well, you know. Yeah. So which means coding and this can definitely come in there to assist us in making sure that at least that gap is closed. Let's look at other examples there that you might have in terms of the two worlds coming together.
Okay. So in scripting of music,
yeah,
it can also come in to regenerate music for you in terms of voices.
Okay.
So you find like those who are voice artists.
Yeah.
Right. Because once you record your voice once and it's there on the platform, you may not necessarily have to every time go and record your voice.
Mm.
Right. So if you're a voice artist, you're doing adverts, you can simply use the same voice, and through AI, it can be used and you can still generate income. Because remember, performing arts require you to perform in person, which limits the amount of revenue you can cash in.
Mm.
But rather than you having to be present every time to get paid, right, just by having a sample of your voice, it can then be in different elements or in different arts.
Mm.
Yeah. We also have platforms such as Krita and T Kinta,
okay,
right? Krita and Blender are digital platforms, while T Kinta is an interactive software.
Mm.
And these are all being used in the performing arts. So you can actually go into a setting where people are performing. They are not the real people, but these are plays that they have engineered from the background, right? Mm. So they may not be there specifically, but they will perform a whole play, and it's in real. It's actually real.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. And are there values that can be attached to these things?
By values, what do you mean?
So, for instance, I suppose T Kinta, for instance, is there a monetary value behind this? I'm thinking here, maybe a potential voiceover artist myself, there could be some money there in recording my voice and having it replicated somewhere there.
Yeah. Yeah. So by simply performing, I mean, think of when you can't be present for every show that's happening, your character can be replicated, and you can still earn. You can still create value for yourself, even if you're not present physically for that. Okay. Yeah. And there are also coding platforms that are helping future artists to better equip to be creatives. Children have actually platforms that can help them teach them how to code and create art and skits and music. I mean, for example, one such platform is Scratch, right? Mm. Scratch helps you to, you can actually code a piano and then learn how to play a piano on your computer.
Mm.
So by the time you actually have access to a computer, you can then play the actual real piano, but you actually know the keys. Mm. So it also helps to remove that that barrier that comes with owning your own personal piano and all that.
Are there no risks to this? I mean, I think these advancements are quite great and kind of make life better. You know, we can monetize on these things. But surely, like young people will say, there are red flags somewhere.
Well, I mean, there definitely has to be a lot of caution when it comes to having, especially children's faces online, because even now you can take someone's face and you put it on the imagery for a soap. Like let's say maybe you make soap, you can put it there and on the brand, or someone can pretend to be you. You know, those are some of the risks for children. They can be cyberbullied. So we obviously need to make sure that whatever we're going to involve kids in or children in, they must be educated on the risks. On one project that I worked on with a company based in the USA, we would make sure that parents sign a letter of approval to say, look, children are going to be recording videos, and though they're going into a private platform, you are aware that we are recording them, and the platforms, we took measures to make sure that platforms were safe. But we always, children are always advised not to then give out information, like, you know, if you're online or something.
I mean, someone can take a picture, just Google you, and then they find you. Find these things that really scary that are happening there. Should we embrace this intersection between performing arts and coding?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the way the world is going. You won't always have to do the repetitive tasks in your career, right? Like scripting work, you already have platforms that are scripting. It could be poems, it could be films or theater for you, right? You can use ChatGPT to help you script a play for you, right? It saves you more time. Then you can focus more on how you perform and how you bring out your character more as a person. And there are also some repetitive tasks, like I mentioned before, trying to remove all the silent spaces in a song.
Yeah,
you know, those can be done by platforms that are available to us. You know, so you spend more time utilizing the apps to aid your career and to help you be visible online. So that's something we can leverage on.
No, definitely. If they can save us time. I think we live in a world where, time is a scarce commodity. And I think, as artists and all that in the different spheres and genres of performing arts, If we can save time, definitely that. And I find that a lot of these, poets and people who are doing voiceover, they're always against time, you know, chasing one gig after the mm-hmm. other, one gig after the other. So if I can get myself singing on the next gig before I even get there, why not? Just throw that thing in there and start singing before me. When I get there, just continue from where from where it left off, and then everyone is happy going forward from there. But I think it's scary for me, I must be honest with you. I mean, I think technology is great, but the kind of things that technology is now unveiling and unfolding for us are really scary things. And people like yourselves in the technology maybe find them very fascinating, and you enjoy these things. But hey, I don't know. I think somewhere for me it's a little bit okay. I hear these things, and so it leads me to my question. Then, as we try to round up on this one, where do you see this relationship, I suppose, between the two taking us in the future?
Definitely, it means that in the future, we are going to see more creative art. We're going to see, we're not going to run out of genre of music. We're not going to run out of performing arts, for example. You know, a lot of times people tend to run out of ideas.
Yeah.
Or they fail to bring to remove their ideas from the brain to into something that works. So it can create value for a person and as a source of living, right?
Yeah.
So definitely, it means people will be able to keep within spaces that they've always loved or have always had a passion for. And they can remove the geographical barriers. I mean, sometimes being part of something, you know, like being part of a conference in another country and you want to perform there, maybe funds are not allowing, you can just hop online and do your part and still be paid for that work. So it definitely will play a crucial part. And we need to embrace it today before tomorrow.
Yeah. So what are the risks of not embracing it then?
Well, I mean, you're going to be redundant. You're definitely going to be redundant. Funny story, yesterday actually. So we've got a platform. We've got multiple platforms for taxis.
Yeah.
Right. In Zimbabwe, I wanted to get a taxi.
Yeah.
And so I just checked how much it would be on this platform from town to Newlands. But then when we parked, we've got those usual taxis where you go and ask, and he said it was $10, but on the app it was $4, right? And then I told him, look, sir, the app is saying $4. Then he said, okay, fine. I'll make it $5. On the way to my meeting, and we were talking about it, I'm like, look, man, I think it's best for you to hop on to this application. Otherwise, you'll have a car and you don't have business, you know. And it was his first gig of the day, you know, if we hadn't come along. So if you're not going to adapt to that, even in the accounting space, in the medical field, if you're not going to adapt to that, you're definitely not going to have business, because people are slowly trusting technology more than the humans, because humans are prone to error. Yeah, imagine being operated on by a doctor who hasn't slept in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's scary.
You know, but technology doesn't tire, so it can work for you and hop in where human has limitations.
Just a personal question. Yeah. How many apps do you have?
That we've created?
I suppose even on your phone, I mean, you have an app for, it sounds like you've got an app for everything.
I wouldn't really know how to count them.
Oh, wow, that many.
No, they're quite a lot. Some of them I don't even use. I've never actually opened, you know.
Sure.
But definitely, I mean, I can definitely say like the Google Workspace has really helped.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, especially on the calendar side, the notes, that has really helped. I definitely have my Ellen White writings in there, you know, for the reading, my Sabbath School quarterly, you know, but they're quite a lot. They're really quite a lot.
Sure. I can imagine. I can imagine. I hope it doesn't cause you anxiety, because for me, I would have a lot of anxiety with so many apps in there. But yeah, once again, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate your time, and all the best to Mozambique. Hey? I'm still grappling with the idea, but I think I see where this thing is going, and perhaps where I can frame it in my mind to say, like you said, we don't want to be redundant. Definitely, I don't want to be redundant. So we need to hop onto this thing very quickly.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, thank you so much, Ronald, and have a good one and travel safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Definitely.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.